Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Welcome to this Thursday's teaching. Today's message will focus on one of the symptoms of backsliding, forgetfulness. Some Christians fall away from God because they simply forget about His significance and the position He is supposed to have in their lives. Today, Bishop Doug will encourage you to strive to be a believer who remembers what God has delivered you from, and he will also urge you to not forget that it is Christ who brought you to your current position and who has blessed you. Discover from today's message how by simply remembering, you can prevent yourself from sliding away from God.
And I want to continue ministering about that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The next symptom of backsliding. How many used to come for this service before? You have some notes. Which are the symptoms we've done before? Can you tell me? Number one is what? I can't hear you. Bad company. Number two. Pardon? Looking backwards. Number three. Do you have any notes? Number three is what? What are they saying? Overconfidence. Number four. All right, I'm not hearing you. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We just continue from there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The next symptom that I want to talk about is forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. It's in verse chapter 8. Verse number 14. It says, "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." Amen. Now, the Bible tells us here that some people fall away from God because they forget the Lord their God. Amen. I once preached a message entitled "Remember." I believe that one of the things that prevents Christians from falling away from the right way is simply being able to remember so many things. Hallelujah. Please say amen.
Amen.
God wants us to remember what we have said. You know, when people give their life to Jesus, they stand in front here and they say, "Lord, I will serve you. I will follow you. From today, I give my life to you." It means something. And so if you can remember what you said, it will help you. Praise the Lord. And often, it is because people forget what they say or what they have said. It is because of that that they fall away from very high standards or high levels. So I'm speaking to every one of you here today. I want to tell you to be a person who remembers. Amen. Amen. There are two types of people. People who do not remember anything. They don't remember where they came from. They don't remember who helped them. They don't remember where they started. You know, I like to remember where I started from. Many years ago, we moved from the canteen to this building. And we all danced in a procession. And some people were watching this video of us dancing. And there was one lady I remember, she asked me, "Hey, why are you really, you know, excited?" And she said, It must mean a lot to you. And I said, it certainly does. Because I remember where I came from. I can remember when we started our church in a little classroom. I often go to that classroom. And I often take people to that classroom to show them this is where the church began. Today our church is one of the largest churches in our nation. And it's a church that is truly worldwide in so many countries. You may not know the extent of the church. Many people think when we say branches, a church here, and so on, you may think that they're just, you know, two or three people. But if you ever have the opportunity, which some people do, they go abroad or they go to other countries and they see the church, real church, working. You know, they come back and they say, oh, I'm so surprised. And they say, you know, every time you come and you say the churches are growing, things are getting, we hear it, but we don't really understand it, what you are saying. When we go there, we see for ourselves, then we realize what the Lord is doing. But I can remember when I started pastoring and preaching in a little classroom across the road. And so because of that, it helps, because I remember, it helps me to be appreciative to God. It helps me to remember the things I said I wanted to do. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? But some people don't want to remember where they came from. And that's why there are some Ghanaians who go abroad and God blesses them. They have a little money and they forget where they came from. They forget their mother back home. They forget the people they left back home. They don't try to help somebody else who is in the same situation as they used to be. They forget how things used to be when some years ago, you know. And it is because we don't have the ability to remember that we become evil. And God said it in His word here. He said that you remember in verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a passage you must have at the bottom of your heart all the time. If I've preached about it before, I'm preaching about it again. And I love preaching about it over and over. You know, it says that thou shalt remember, thou shalt not forget. All right. And it says that beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. In verse 12, it says, when thou hast eaten, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and art full, be careful. Hallelujah. Then your heart be lifted up. And you forget. And in verse 13 says, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, beware that thine heart is not lifted up. Because that is the time that people forget what they said. Somebody said to me, and I think it's true, he said, nobody starts out in the ministry with a bad motive. He said, it's very difficult to have a bad motive when you are starting in the ministry, because you have to say things that sound true but are not true. It's very difficult. But with time, people forget and people change. You understand what I'm talking about? And so that was like advice to me. It's like, yeah, you may have started out with a good motive, but be careful, because with time, as things change, people also forget. And that is why God told me when I was becoming a doctor, do not forget. When God has blessed you, preach the word of God. That is why I still do dawn broadcasts. That is why I still preach. That's why I still pray. Amen. That's why I still witness. And that's why we bought our truck and we go crusading. Because I can remember years ago when all I dreamt of was going to villages to tell people about Jesus Christ. That was all I wanted to do. As a student, I wanted to serve the Lord and to win souls. And so when you remember what you said, remember what you said you would do, when you remember these things, it helps you to stay on the right track. But you watch a person who doesn't seem to remember anything. That person can easily turn around on what he said he would do. There are people who say, oh, Pastor, I'm in the church. Pastor, I'm loyal to you. I really love Lighthouse. I really want to be here. Give them a little time. They forget what they said. And when you have somebody who does not have a remembering attitude, just give them some years. And then you find out that they are falling away from the Lord. So God is telling us today that we must have the attitude of someone who remembers. Someone who remembers. And when you remember, it helps you to stay on track. But you watch a person who forgot what he said. You are watching somebody who can easily fall away from what he's supposed to be. Are you listening to me? If the dead could talk, if the founders of the churches, the great churches we have around today, were to rise from the dead, or if the leaders of certain churches were to go back to see what the founders of the churches said, what they said they believed in, they would realize that the churches, many of the churches, are far away from the original way of doing things. Some churches claim that they are following after Apostle Peter. That's a very good thing. Some people say Peter was the first so and so. If that Peter was the first so and so, let's find out what Peter did. See how he preached. Let's have, if Peter was the first pope, let's have popes who preach like Peter preached. Amen. It's a good thing to follow Peter. And we thank God if Peter was the first pope. Let's preach like Peter preached. Just do things as, try and remember how they were. And let's try and do things. But when you forget how they really were or really are, then we all change. And so I want you to say to you, even in your marriage, you know, you can meet a nice person and be so happy. I love you. I'll never leave you. You are everything to me. I'll leave my father. I'll leave my mother. I'll follow you. Blah, blah, blah. All those nice things. I feel so mad. When I don't see you, I can't stay there. I feel butterflies moving all around me. My stomach is developing various problems because of you. I just don't feel happy. I have to see you every day. I have to hear your voice. Even if I don't see you, at least I must hear your voice. Hey! Okay. Please remember all these things in the future. I said, please remember all these things. Otherwise, you gradually change. You gradually change. You gradually change. So let's try to remember the things we have said. Watch a person who forgets and watch a person who will backslide. I said, watch a person who forgets and you are watching a person who will backslide one day. Amen. Next symptom. The symptom of not fasting. Not fasting. Watch somebody who does not fast. Who does not fast. I'm going to read a scripture in Isaiah 58, verse 3. It says, wherefore have we fasted? We have afflicted our souls. All right? Now, I want you to notice that fasting is synonymous with afflicting your soul. And that is why in Isaiah chapter 58, are you with me? Please tell, we are doing a Bible study. It's not a philosophy discourse an intellectual discourse. It is preaching from the Bible. Isaiah 58 verse 3. It says, wherefore have we fasted? We fasted. And wherefore have we afflicted our souls? In the last part of the verse. Alright? So when you fast, you afflict your soul. Are you listening to me? Everybody say this after me. Fasting means I am afflicting my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now in James chapter 4 verse 9, the Bible gives an instruction. It says, be afflicted, mourn and weep. Be afflicted, mourn and weep. Now, when the Bible says be afflicted, it doesn't mean, you know, some people think affliction in this context means, you know, like you should have troubles or sickness, or so on. Now, if that is what it meant, I do not believe that God will be telling you, have troubles, have sickness. How can you have sickness? How do you make yourself sick? It's against God's principles. So when he says be afflicted, I believe that it simply means fast. Alright? Now, let's look at Psalm 119, verse 67. Everybody, can you find Psalm 119? If you are a Christian, you brought your Bible. Turn to Psalm 119 and we want to look at verse number 67. Please, we are in the church and we must all look into our Bibles. Psalm 119, verse number 67. What does it say? It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Amen. Are you listening to me? It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. In other words, before I was afflicted, I went out of line. And backsliding is talking about going out of line, going out of where we want to be. So when you do not afflict yourself, because he says, before I was afflicted. Now, one of the ways you can be afflicted is by fasting. And the Bible is saying that before I was afflicted, all right, or before I fasted, I went astray. I just went out of the way. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me this morning? And so God is telling us that we need to fast. Fasting is part of Christianity. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I said, praise the Lord Jesus. And when you don't fast, you tend to go astray. Why do you go astray when you fast? There's a scripture in Psalm 35, verse 13. The Bible tells us, let's look at it. It's a good one to look at. Psalm 35, please. It says, are you there? Psalm 35, these are scriptures on fasting. Are you there? Verse 13, it says, in the second part of the verse, it says, I humbled my soul with fasting. All right? And my prayer returned into my own bosom. Now, the Bible is telling us here that David says, I humbled myself by or with fasting. So fasting is a way by which you can humble yourself. Now, you can easily see from all the scriptures I've quoted, like the one in Psalm 119 verse 67, that before I was afflicted or before I fasted, you know, I went astray. That's a fact of life. Now, if you are a Christian and you stop fasting, okay, you are opening yourself up to possible backsliding. You see, why do I say that? Because you see, as a human being, you are made out of three parts: your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now, your spirit is the part of you that is born again. Now, your spirit is very real, but often we are not aware of what is happening within our spirits. That is why, you know, people are more aware of their minds, and that's why we've developed schools to train our minds. Is that not so? In school, to develop our minds. And we are aware of our bodies, and that is why ladies paint their lips and go to the hairdresser every Saturday. Is that not so? When do people go to the hairdresser? Is it Saturday? Sundays. They spend a lot of time doing their hair, perming it, retouching it, recurling it. Sometimes they spend as much as 12 hours, 10 hours, you know, converting their face into a Bob Marley-like type of appearance. You know, they do all these things because they are conscious of the body, all right? And they are conscious of the mind. That's why people go to school, because they realize that it's important, you know, to do all this. But people are not aware of your spirit. But your spirit is the most important. In fact, the Bible teaches us that it is when your spirit goes out of your body that you die. The Bible says that the body without the spirit is not alive. All right. So what it is that the moment your spirit goes out of your body stops working. In medicine, we define somebody as being dead when the cardiac system is not working, and then the brain is dead, you know, most of the time, or he's not breathing, you know, and so on. So we can say that the person is dead. But, you know, there's a step further which they cannot diagnose with instruments, and that is when the spirit goes out of the person is dead. You know, now what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that your spirit within you can be your as a Christian, you are either dominated by your mind, dominated by your spirit, or dominated by your body.
That's right.
So when you are dominated by your flesh, you do a lot of funny things. Amen. If you are dominated by your flesh, let me give you some powerful forces that are within your flesh. Powerful forces. I'll just give you three. There are three powerful forces within your flesh, whether you are aware of it or not. And they have a powerful effect on you. So if you are dominated, in other words, which of the three has the preeminence? Which of the three has the control? Now, either your spirit, your soul, or your body. Now, let me just give you three of the forces. They are not all, but three at least of your flesh, which if they control you, you become a funny person. You know, number one, sleep, the power of sleep. Sleep is a very powerful thing. All right? And there are some people who are sleepy heads. They are always sleeping. They sleep a lot. They sleep during the day. They sleep in the night. They sleep for hours and hours. They sleep in church. When you preach, they start yawning. It's a very powerful force. Recently, I was traveling, and you know, I was sitting at the back of a car. Somebody was driving, and I was trying to stay awake. And then I was sleeping, and I got up, and I slept. Then at the point, my head went like that, bah, like that. And I realized that sleep was a very powerful force. It was overpowering me. I didn't want to sleep, but I was sleeping. Are you listening to me? One time I was driving from Kumasi. When I got to Kibi, you know, at a point I realized that I was fast asleep. So I had to stop. It was in the middle of the night, about 3 a.m. It was so strong. It was such a power. Even though I knew that I was risking my life and the life of everybody that was in the car. It was so strong. It was closing my eyes. That's my flesh. Are you here or you've gone home? Power number two. Food. Very powerful. You try fasting for, if I give you a fast for 6 hours, just 6 to 12, you see. 6 to 6, you see what will happen. One day, it's a very strong desire that controls. And a Christian who is controlled by food, controlled by sleep, my, you are in for trouble. You are not covered. Wow. Amen. Third powerful force. I met a man once many years ago in a place called Sunderland in England. And then as I talked to him, he said to me, "My dog is missing." I said, "Why? What's wrong?" He said, "My dog has run away." And then he said something which I have not forgotten all these years. He said, "My dog has run after a female dog." And he said to me, "Sex is the most powerful force on this earth." Because it had made his dog run away from him. And he was looking for the dog. Ladies and gentlemen, another important powerful force is sex. If it dominates you and it controls you, you become some way. I said, you become some way. Amen. And so these forces, you know, can dominate you. And so when you fast, are you understanding? It brings your flesh under control. It subdues your flesh. Let's say you have a wild dog, you know, and it's attacking everybody. It's doing bad things. All right. One of the things you could do is to not feed it. It becomes a little weak. When you fast, don't you become weak? Yeah. All the things that your flesh, you know, does and things, you know, are a bit subdued. So fasting, when you watch a Christian who is not fasting, you realize that his flesh is rising up strong, doing all sorts of things, you know, affecting, even affects the way you think. It affects the way you think. If all you want to do is to eat, and I talk about fasting, you'll be angry with me. Your mind starts to be against me. Your mind is against me. Why? Just because of food. And announcing the church, I said, "We are fasting. This church and all these type of programs, me, I can't join." There are people who never join anything. Aren't you one of the people who never joins anything? We always say, "You don't join anything. Anything we do, you don't join. You just come and sit here on Sunday and go away." And many times it's flesh dominated. I was talking to one house officer. I said to her, "Listen, I've been a house officer before. I've been a doctor before. I'm still a doctor. I've done house job. I've done all these things. And when I did house job, I was the only doctor in one ward for 3 months. A very hectic ward. Some of you have there 10 of house officers in one or one floor, 3 house officers in one floor. I've been the only person for 3 months at pediatric surgery. It's not a small thing. And I was a pastor, and I was praying, and I was fasting, and I was doing the work of God. And people have small something that they have to do, and then they don't want to do any of the work of God. Listen to me, dear friend, let me tell you. When you watch a Christian who does not fast, you are watching a Christian who is on his way to backslide.
That's right.
Let me tell you, no matter what theory you bring, fasting cannot be excluded from Christianity. No matter what you say and what type of doctrine you try to show me, it is in the Bible. It's an irrevocable part of the Word of God. Paul fasted, Jesus fasted, everybody fasted. Fasting is part of Christianity. And if you want to be a good Christian and you want to stay to the end, you must accept that fasting will be part of your life until you die. Watch a Christian who does not fast. You are watching a Christian who may fall away one day. Amen. The next symptom is fasting less. Because some people used to fast a lot. Now they, not that they don't fast, but they fast less. It's a very important symptom that you must look out for. Decide that you will fast. Hallelujah. Fasting is not an option. It's something that you must do. One day I met a brother and he told me, that time I was in Europe, he told me, you know, we here in Europe, we cannot fast so much in the winter. I said to him, my brother, most of my fasting, I have done it in the winter. Amen. I said that. He told me I have to eat in order to remain warm. It's the same theory. I remember one time I was going horse riding, you know, early in the morning. I used to go riding with my father's horses. Sometimes we take them out for training. And then some people were smoking. I said, why are you smoking? He said, I'm to keep warm because the weather is cold. I said, really? How does cigarette keep you warm? You see, people always want to have a reason to do something. Let me tell you something. God wants us to be committed, serious Christians. Hallelujah. And he wants the best for us. Hallelujah. So as we go into fasting, because I believe that we are going to go into some fasting. Every Christian must have a vision to fast, to do something in fasting you have not done before. I have not fasted for 40 days and nights before. There are certain, too many things that I have not done. But I have a dream and a vision that I will keep expanding, doing a little more than I've done before. Amen. Try it. Maybe some of you fasted only up to 12. Believe God. I remember the first time I fasted up to 6. It was not a simple thing. It was not a small thing. I mean, it was the battle of Armageddon to keep me alive till 6 o'clock in the evening. And then one day I decided that I'm going to go from 6 till the next morning, 6 o'clock a.m. So I started at 6 a.m. in the morning and I continued to the next morning, 6 a.m. It was not a simple thing, but I did it. And I was happy when I did it. And then I began and I tried, let me go a little further. And I remember one day when I was in Achimota School, many years ago, 1981, I fasted for 3 days. By the third day, I was almost in coma. I was lying on my bed on the third day. I couldn't, when you say, when you come, I couldn't even lift up my hand like this. My hand couldn't go up. But you see, all those things kept me going spiritually. Are you listening to me this morning? It kept me moving on. So don't exclude yourself. Anytime there's something, don't say, oh, for me I am this, for me I am that. God is telling you today, do not exclude yourself from the activities of the church. Sometimes we say fasting so that we all join in. We all suffer together. We all get involved. It's not easy to fast. Many times I'll be fasting, I'll be dreaming of the kinds of food I've not eaten for a long time. Oh, in fact, sometimes I don't know what to do with myself. I remember one time I was fasting. I was suffering. I just began to dream of kenke. I said, oh God, what a nice food that I'm missing at this time. It was not a simple thing. It was not a simple thing. But as you do it, it helps you keep going on. Amen. But when you fast, your mind becomes spiritual. You think about the word of God. You think about prayer. Please don't exclude yourself. We have ministry meetings, chapel meetings on Thursdays. Everyone here must be part of it. The time has come for you to stop excluding yourself from everything that God is doing in the church. The time has come for you to stop saying that it's not me. I am too busy. I am too this. I am too that. You are not. You have the same problem that everybody else has. You are not special. It's that reasoning. You see, stubborn people always find reasons when you counsel them. When you talk to them, give them advice, say, oh, but me, this and that. You see somebody who is stubborn in his marriage, you tell the person, you must love your wife. You cannot love another woman. He will start arguing with you. He will tell you, no, you don't know this woman. If you are in the house with me, you will see the thing she does. That's a stubborn person. A stubborn person always has a reason, an answer back, always answering back. A reason why? A reason why not? God is saying, humble yourself. When I say fast, let's fast. When I say come for ministry meeting, let's do it. When we are going for crusade, let's go. Don't exclude yourself. I sense strongly in my spirit that too many excluding people who exclude themselves. Whenever God is doing something, they exclude themselves from it. It's time for you to stop excluding yourself, young lady. Young lady. Young lady. It's time for you to stop excluding yourself. Stop excluding yourself from paying first and best. Stop excluding yourself from fasting. Stop excluding yourself from joining a chapel and a ministry in the church. Stop excluding yourself from reading books and buying tapes. The tapes are in front of you, first and best. You don't pay because you always have a reason why you are excluded, why it doesn't apply to you. Be careful. Because after excluding yourself for a while,
The Bible says, he that is often being reproved and hardeneth his neck, he will suddenly be cut off. And that cannot be revoked. Stand to your feet.
Hallelujah. Well, lift up your hands and just commit yourself to the Lord. Tell him today, Lord, I just want to do your will. I want to be more like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here and you want to take a decision not to exclude yourself from whatever God is doing, lift up your hand. Let me pray with you. Father, for every hand that is lifted up, establish them in your will, in your way, in your plan, in your perfect, perfect will. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. God bless you. And as every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you want to give your life to God, want to give your life to Jesus this morning, Pastor, pray with me. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand. Lift it up high. Pastor, I want to give my life to God. Lift it up high. Come to the front. If you lifted your hand, come to me in the front here. I'm going to pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus? All right. All right. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.